whatever you do in this life, whatever you're called to do, assigned to do, let it come out of your rest and confidence, knowing you're equipped to do it.
You have an assignment from God. Your supply and your victory have been provided by your Heavenly Father. Today, join Jeremy Pearsons as he continues his teaching on believing and receiving God's rest. Next on the Believer's Voice of Victory.
Hello, everybody. Welcome again to the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. I'm Jeremy Pearsons, and I've been your host all this week and all last week, and I hope you've had as much fun on these broadcasts as I have. And we have been right in the middle of the Word of God, hearing things from Him and seeing things in the Word. And I believe, I know it's been a blessing to me. And the reason I'm so excited about having preached these things and ministering them to you is because Sarah and I, my wife and I, have been ministering them to ourselves. We have been under assignment from the Spirit of God to preach this resting side of faith. And as our life, I mean, when he got married, I say it like this, we hit the ground running. You know, we were in ministry from the first moment we got home from that honeymoon and have loved it ever since. And now as I'm taping these broadcasts, I got a baby on the way. As you're watching them, I am probably holding him. I mean, but between the time we tape these and they actually air, we're going to have a new little baby in the Pearsons house. And Sarah and I have made very proud great-grandparents out of Kenneth and Gloria Copeland and all our grandparents. We love them dearly. But life changes, doesn't it? Can I get a witness? Can I see a hand of anybody who would agree that as I got guys over the studio raising their hands, but listen, life changes. Things change shape. Nothing stays the same. If it did, it would kind of get boring, wouldn't it? And, you know, we're excited about this new little baby that's coming into our lives, and I'm pretty much just having a baby for more preaching stories. You know, I've run out of stories and it's time to get some new ones. No, I'm kidding. We're excited about this. But when things change in life, I bet you've noticed that very rarely do they slow down. Typically, it seems that things pick up pace and you're doing more and you're going more places and you're involved in more things than you've ever been involved in before. But to do that and do it effectively, you're going to have to learn to rest from the inside out. You're going to have to learn to find that confidence on the inside, rest in knowing that all your needs have been met according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That's grace from God to you through Jesus. That's grace, and grace must be appropriated by faith. And if faith is a rest, what is He saying? He's saying, I want you to take your rest in My grace. Come boldly before the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace and help in a time of need. Take your rest right there at the throne of God. Take that rest. And when you begin to see that faith really is a rest, faith is trust, faith is confidence. And when I say rest, please don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that resting is the same as doing nothing. I'm not telling you just to park yourself on that couch for the rest of your life. That is not what I am saying at all. What I'm saying to you is whatever you do in this life, whatever you're called to do, assigned to do, let it come out of your rest and confidence, knowing you're equipped to do it. If you set your hand to do something that you're not sure you've got what it takes, you're unsure how it's going to turn out, there is no rest there. There is actually quite the opposite. Maybe it will, maybe it won't. But for the believer, for the person that's been called according to His purpose, there is no maybe it will, maybe it won't. None of that stuff. All there should be coming out of you and me is I'm a believer, that's who I am, and that's what I do. And you rest in knowing that not only has He called you, He's equipped you. Not only has He called you to do it, He's graced you with all the power you need to accomplish it. And that's why I've been so stirred up. I mean, yes, life is changing for us. Baby on the way, baby in hand pretty soon. Life changes, but you know what? I'm not confused. I'm not worried. This is just what the Lord has called us to do. This baby that's coming, that's the assignment on Sarah and I. We are now called to be parents. And with that call came the grace to do it. With that call came the ability to do it. That's the beauty of the New Testament. Yes, there is a command for you. Yes, there is an assignment for you. But you're not left to execute it under your own power and under your own strength. He's equipped you to do it. That is grace. That is rest. So we've been talking for days now about not only living in that place of rest, but how do you get there? How do you enter into it? Well, it begins, of course, by making Jesus the Lord of your life. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who labor, and I will give you rest." But that truth that you were born again by, when you heard that preacher stand on that platform that day and he said, "You're labored, you're weary because you've been laboring, you're heavy laden, come to Jesus and he'll give you rest," and you came to Jesus, that truth you were born again by, that's the same truth you and I are supposed to be living by day after day after day. And that should not be the last time you came to Jesus. You and I should be having come to Jesus meetings every day of our life. Why? Because he said in John chapter 6 that our work is to believe in him. So that must mean all the other work has been accomplished. The work for your healing was accomplished through death, his death, burial, and resurrection. The work for your salvation, the work for your prosperity, everything it took to earn your righteousness has been completed by Jesus. And he said, the only work left to do is believe. That's the only thing he can't do for you. He can't believe for you, but he can give you the power to believe. He can give you the strength to believe. And like Abraham, who hoped against hope, where did his hope come from? If there was no other reason to expect the promise of God, his expectation wasn't based in anything natural. His expectation came as a gift from God. He gave him the ability to believe, but Abraham still had to believe it for himself. And that's what Jesus is saying. Your work is to believe. That's John chapter 6. That's also Hebrews chapter 4. We who believed do enter into that rest. Hey, I got great news for you today. There's a place of rest for you. There's a place where you don't toil anymore. You don't struggle anymore. You don't worry anymore. That's good news. I'm preaching good news to you today. But in Hebrews chapter 4, it says that they heard the good news that was preached, but it didn't profit them. Why? Because it wasn't mixed with faith. So I want you just to see a big pot of stew that you would see on the stove or over a fire. And you've got in that, you've got all the good news, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, everything he's given to you, everything he's poured into you. But to receive it, to make that be profitable for you, you got to mix with it faith and let those things stir. Your faith in his grace and your realization of what grace has provided for you, then it profits you. Then it becomes useful to you. So we saw that those who believe enter into that rest. What else brings us into this place of rest? Jesus said it when these people questioned him. They said that these people who had gotten a free meal that day out in the wilderness when Jesus had broken bread and fed 5,000 people. Then the next day they all chased him down again. And he said, "You're not looking for me because you saw a sign. You're looking for me because you got a free meal. You're looking for me because you ate natural carnal bread." But he said, don't labor. Don't chase me down for bread that feeds your stomach. He said, "You look for the food which endures to everlasting life." And they're saying, okay, give us some of that kind of food. And Jesus said, "Here's your work. Believe on me. Just believe me. Just take me at my word." And they said, "Give us a sign and we'll believe." Before he could even respond to that, they said, "Take this sign, for example. Remember when Moses made it rain down bread out of the sky? Maybe you could do that for us and we'd believe." Still looking for a handout, still looking for a free meal. When Jesus said, "You know what? That wasn't the bread from heaven." And we even read yesterday out of the book of Exodus where God had given them bread. He had given them the ability to eat when, you know, there's nothing around, no store, no place to buy bread. He rained it down for them, but he said on that seventh day, you can collect it all 6 days, but on that seventh day, the bread doesn't go bad. And all I want you to eat on that, all I want you to do on that day is eat. No more working for it. So Jesus says, "You want to talk about the bread from heaven that Moses gave? Well, that wasn't even bread from heaven. I'm the bread from heaven." And he went on to say, "Feed on me." This is how you and I enter into that rest. Now remember, we're connecting dots. We're connecting dots all over Scripture here, and it's going to paint a picture for us of how to enter into this place called rest. How do you do that? You believe the words that Jesus spoke. Well, what is there to believe if you never go find out what Jesus said? You cannot be a believer until you hear the Word, until you see the Word. That's when faith comes. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You look in the Amplified version of that translation of that scripture in Romans chapter 10, then you see that it's not just hearing the Word of God, but it's specifically hearing the Word concerning Jesus the Christ. Faith comes when you hear about Jesus. The woman with the issue of blood, Jairus, the friends who brought their crippled friend to Jesus, they all had heard that Jesus was here. They heard Jesus was in town. And when they heard about Jesus, faith came. Faith rose up on the inside of them. That's what happens when you feed on Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come to me, he said. I will give you rest. How do we feed on Jesus? You set your eyes on this Word. What did Jesus say? How did Jesus do this? How did he minister to the sick? If it's because you've got sickness in your body, you find out what Jesus did. If somebody's come to you because they've got sickness in their body, you find out what Jesus did. How did he do that? And you just pour over these scriptures. Better yet, you let them pour over you and you feed on it. Jesus, I want to see how you did this. Why is this so important? Because Jesus is an exact representation of the Father. He is the visible image of the invisible God. And when you feed on Jesus, you are feeding on the will of God for you. And you know what? When a believer or a Christian comes and says, I don't know God's will for my life. I don't understand God. And when there's all this confusion about His character, about how He does things, you know what that says to me? It says to me that that individual has not been feeding on Jesus. That individual has not taken the bread of life. Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life. That means you can feed on His Word. You can drink from His Word and it will sustain you. Now, I want you to get a picture. Remember, we're connecting all these dots. This picture of God giving the children of Israel the manna, the bread, and on that seventh day they rested. All the work of collecting had been done on day six, and now on that seventh day, all there was left to do was eat. Now remember, Jesus introduced a new development, a new era, Matthew chapter 11, at that epochal strategic moment, He introduced a new beginning and He said, come to me. Now there's rest. You and I are living in that new development. You and I are living in the day of rest. We are living in the day of grace, the day where all the work has been accomplished and the only thing left for you and I to do, one of the only things God will allow us to do on this day of rest is eat. One of the only things we get to do today is partake of Jesus. No more working for it, no more toiling over it, just eating, feeding on Jesus. We take His flesh and we drink His blood. We sit at the communion table. We feed on Him. We open the Word. We feed on Him. We listen to messages. We feed on Jesus. That's why it's important to be very watchful over the kind of teaching that you allow yourself to listen to. Because you can listen to things that have great soul value to you and they may help you there. But the things that have eternal value are things that point you to Jesus. A message that points you back to Jesus. I'm telling you, preachers, if I got preachers listening to me today, let me tell you something. The subject and all three points of every sermon you preach from here on out better point people to Jesus. Because if not, who are you preaching? And Paul said, we don't preach ourselves, we preach Christ Jesus. That is supposed to be what you and I are preaching. Ministers of the gospel, hold yourself to that. Lean on the Holy Spirit because He's not going to lead you into preaching something else. Jesus said He's come and He will tell you and remind you everything that I said. And that's what Jesus is saying. He's going to bring to your remembrance what I said. So we're feeding on Jesus. All these disciples that hadn't had time to eat when they had come home from their ministry tour, what did Jesus do? There was a miracle 5,000 people were fed, then they were fed. Can you see how this feeding on Jesus is a picture of rest? None of us consider it work to eat. Now, maybe if you don't like the food you're eating, it might be work to get it down, but it's not work when you think about it. When you sit down at a table and maybe you haven't eaten all day, you sit down there and you're ready to eat, you're hungry, that's not work to you. You've come, you've taken your place at the table, and now it's time to feast. Now it's time to eat. And we see this in John chapter 6, Jesus saying, "Feed on me, feed on my word. Feed on my flesh, feed on my blood." And those people heard it and they thought, "This is weird. How are we supposed to eat his flesh and drink his blood?" But they weren't seeing it with eyes that see. They weren't hearing it with ears that hear. And a bunch of them left him that day. They quit feeding on Jesus that day. And Jesus turned to his 12 disciples, the apostles now, and he said, "Are you leaving?" And Peter said, "Where are we going? You have the words of life. Where are we going to go? We can't feed on anything else and live." What is that? It's revelation. That is revelation. Jesus couldn't, in and of himself, just turn the light on for him. Peter had to believe that. The Holy Spirit's at work now. The Father is revealing things to Peter and to these disciples. It's revelation. I'm feeding on Jesus because he has my life. This is where my grace is. This is what I have put my faith in. And the reason I'm saying this over and over is because I want this picture of sitting down to a meal to come alive on the inside of you. I want you to picture yourself there, taking your rest at the table, sitting down and having that meal. Turn to a couple of openings with me. Turn first of all to Revelation chapter 3. I told you yesterday we'd go here, the close of the broadcast yesterday, and I want you to see this. Familiar scripture to you, but once again, one that we tend to leave back on the day of salvation, that day on the calendar when you got saved and you prayed that prayer. But don't do that. If it was truth enough to get you born again, it's truth enough to live by. In verse 19 of Revelation chapter 3, it says, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, therefore be zealous and repent." Behold, this is Jesus talking. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice," if you do what? You hear his voice. He's knocking, but he's also speaking to you. What have we already discovered? His words are life. Feed on those words. He's saying, "I'm standing there knocking, but I'm also talking to you the whole time. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him," and notice this, "and dine with him, and he with me." Let that paint a picture of your relationship with Jesus. He's come into you to dine with you. He has come into you to eat. What are you going to eat? You are going to feed on him. He has come into you to be your supply, to be your source. And he is saying, "You hear my voice, respond to my voice, I'll come in and we'll have a meal together." Notice this in verse 21, "To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne." Let this paint a picture. Don't just read over this. Let it paint a picture. Jesus has come into you. Now you're born again. Now you're saved, right? You've been given victory. You're more than a conqueror now. That victory belongs to you. So to him who overcomes, or to him who says, "Jesus, be my Lord, I don't want anything more to do with sin, nothing more to do with sickness and disease. I want only your life." Now you're an overcomer. Check this out. Now Jesus says, "I grant with you that you sit down with me." What is that? It's a picture of rest. We're connecting dots. He's given you bread to feed on. Feed on Jesus. He's come into you to sit down. Let's just come up to that table and sit and begin to feed on him. He's given you a seat to sit in. All right? That seat is your place of rest. Now look at, we're going to just keep reinforcing this. Now look at Luke chapter 10. And I want to show you another picture of this out of the life and ministry of Jesus. Look at this in Luke chapter 10. We'll begin Towards the end of the chapter, look at verse 38. Now it happened, as they went, that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who did what? Sat at Jesus' feet. What did she do? She sat there. She rested there. That is your place of rest, right at the feet of Jesus. She sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Any man who hears my voice, I'll come in and we'll sit down together. We'll eat together. He'll feed on me and my faithfulness, and I'll be his very source and supply. And Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus to hear his words. But Martha, in verse 40, was distracted with much serving, and she approached him, Jesus, and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. Now notice what's going on. Connect the dots, right? We're doing that, remember? Jesus is the bread of life. We feed on Jesus. He comes into us and we sit down together with him at a meal with him. Psalm 23, remember that beautiful picture of rest? He makes me lie down in green pastures. He restores my soul. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Remember all that? Now you see it in action. Jesus has come into this house and there's two sisters there. One, Martha, and the other, Mary. Mary went and sat at the feet of Jesus and heard his words. My words are spirit and life. If you hear my voice, I'll come into you. But Martha was distracted by serving. If you look at other translations, you find that she was not just serving, not just cleaning or something. She was literally serving a meal. Martha was preparing. She's busy serving a meal. But listen to this. Let me say this at the close of this broadcast and let it just ring so loud in you. She wasn't the only one serving a meal that day. Martha was not the only person serving a meal in that house that day. Who else was serving that day? Jesus was. Jesus came into that house to serve a meal. And Mary sat down at his feet to feed on him. Now, Martha was distracted by her serving. She had gotten so busy preparing a meal that she actually got angry with Jesus and said, "Don't you care? Don't you care?" She put the meal that she was serving on the same level with the meal that Jesus was serving, and she shouldn't have done it because one of those had everlasting life in it. And if Martha had done the right thing, she would have said, forget this, I'm going to go in there and eat. I don't care about this, I'm going to eat what he's serving. And Jesus said, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed. Mary has chosen that good part, and it will not be taken away from her. What is that good thing? You enter into that rest by coming, sitting at the feet of Jesus, and listening to what he says and feeding on his words. And those words bring you in to that place of rest. This is getting so good. We've got one more day to finish these things up. I'm out of time for this broadcast, but don't go anywhere. I'll be back in just a moment.
Come to these exciting meetings. A Behind the Mission Weekend with Stephen Kelly Swisher is June 25th and 26th in Lombard, Illinois at the Westin Lombard Yorktown Center. The Copeland Family Meeting in Long Beach, California is July 8th through 10th, 2010. Come and meet the family, George and Terry Pearsons, Stephen Kelly Swisher, John and Marty Copeland, and Jeremy and Sarah Pearsons at the Long Beach Convention Center. For more information, go to kcm.org. Have you looked at your schedule lately? Pretty busy, right? But what about God? There is a place in God where you can come away and find true rest. Experience God's Rest is a package of two practical teaching series by Kenneth and Gloria Copeland designed to help you enter into that place of rest. Don't Stress Out, Trust God by Kenneth Copeland tells you how to take anxiety and worry out of your life. God is willing and able to take care of you. Learn to trust Him and start living His way free of stress. God Can Turn It Around by Gloria Copeland gives you confidence in God's ability. He can change your circumstances and fix whatever situation you're facing. See yourself through His eyes and change the direction of your life. Experience God's rest. This package will take you from feeling stressed out to being at peace and resting in God. The Experience God's Rest package is being offered to you at a special 50% savings. Now just $20 for both CD series by Kenneth and Gloria Copeland. For an additional product discount and 48-hour processing, order your package online at kcm.org. Order the Experience God's Rest package and learn the importance of making rest a priority in your life. For these and other KCM products, visit us at kcm.org.
The purpose of Kenneth Copeland Ministries is to point you back to the Word of God. Why? Because at the Word, that is where your success is, that is where your victory is, and that's where you find the grace that comes to you and begins to flow through you to other people. That's why we put together these packages, this Experiencing God's Rest package. There are things in here, when you listen to this and you get your Bible out, and you study these things together, there's a way to do this where you begin to see stress just fall off of your life. You stay in contact, constant communication with the Lord and with His Word. You roll those problems over onto Him, cast them onto Him and say, I don't care about this because You care for me. That's the design in these packages. That's the design in these broadcasts. Let them build your faith. Order yours today. It's going to be a blessing to you. Now, our Partner Service Center here at KCM exists to serve you, our partners and our friends. We have a prayer department that exists solely for you to call in and get agreement. And we've had praise reports and testimonies that span the whole range. I mean, somebody who lost a wallet, praise God, they got prayer and they found their wallet. Everything from that to a child that's been missing for 19 years came home. People healed of cancer, partners finding jobs. All of these things are things that you can find somebody to come into agreement with you on. And Jesus said, where two or more are gathered in My name, I'm in the midst. And that's what this prayer department exists for. So we have an office here in Fort Worth, Texas that's available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to those of you in the U.S. Now, if you live outside the U.S., we have offices all over the world. Check their hours of operation, and there'll be somebody there to come into agreement with you. Here's the bottom line, everybody. Have faith in God. What are we going to do? We're going to have faith in Him. Join me tomorrow as we wrap up this 2 weeks of broadcast, resting in Him. It's going to be good. This is Jeremy Pearson's reminding you, God loves you, we love you, and Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory. To purchase this week's broadcasts on DVD or CD, go to kcm.org. Be sure to join Stephen Kelly Swisher for Behind the Mission Weekend Chicago, Friday and Saturday, June 25th and 26th. For all the information on this exciting meeting, go to kcm.org. Tomorrow on the Believer's Voice of Victory.
There's a resting side and there's this fighting side of faith, but I want you to notice how they work hand in hand. The fight of faith, the tenacity, when you get down to that fully persuaded faith, I will not be talked out of this. I refuse to quit on my faith. What are you doing? You are fighting to maintain your place of rest.